Good morning. If you'd open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, we're going to be looking at this second message in the Christmas series that I'm recording, the Nativity story. Rain and shine on opposite sides of the street as small storms pass by is a common occurrence in Miami. Experienced this a lot when we lived there, that you could be on one side of the street and it's sunny, on the other side of the street, rain's coming down and storms pass by so quickly. Moments of just physical turmoil, yet always at peace. You know, God's plan for us, it includes moments of turmoil, yet always at peace. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it reads, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We had friends living in South Carolina in 1989 when Hurricane Hugo, a hurricane which had an eye the size of the state of Georgia. This thing was so huge. It came through. That storm was raging all around, but in that eye, which was huge, it was completely calm. We always had a theory that we used to talk about, that if you could stay right there in the eye of the storm and move with the eye, then everything will be fine. Just move with the eye. Stay in the very center of the storm's eye and you'll be safe. John 16:33 reads, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." What is Jesus speaking of here? Well, remaining in the eye of the storm. God's will is within the storm's eye. What's the point we're making here? Well, it's that we can have peace in the middle of any of life's storms. Stay within God's will and have peace. Move from His will and you enter the storm. God's will is at the storm's eye. If the storm is beginning to consume you, then that's an indication that you've moved from the eye. If you turn to Matthew chapter 1, or if you haven't, I encourage you to turn there, invite you to look with me at verses 18 to 25, Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But when he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. What a nice, neat story. Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Mary was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph was informed of the situation. Joseph was instructed about the baby. He was given the name Jesus to call the child. Savior. And it told the reason for the name. He will save. This event was fulfillment of a prophecy of 700 years earlier that God himself would come to solve our sin problem. And Joseph followed the instructions exactly. Really smooth. Actually, a closer look reveals quite a bit more. It was actually a three-step process from verse 18 to verse 25. A three-step process. Let's look at that process. First of all, Joseph was faced with a problem. Mary's conception. Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Choose to have her stoned. Choose to divorce her. He struggled to make the right decision. What am I going to do? And why did he struggle like that? Well, it says he was a just man. Personal righteousness and prayerful reflection will often carry us through. And the result may be the highest joy. In all our doubts, we shall have a resolution from heaven, if we seek guidance and are not too hasty to try and resolve it ourselves. But let me ask you a couple of questions. How long do you give God to solve your problems? How long before you take matters into your own hands? How long? So Joseph was faced with a problem, Mary's conception. And then Joseph, second, received the solution. Take Mary as your wife. Verses 20 and 21. But while he thought about these things, trying to figure out what to do, whether to divorce her, have her stoned, how do you handle this? It says, while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So important. A totally different choice. Neither stoning to punish fornication, nor divorce to save his reputation, but God's will. Marriage as part of the plan. Joseph received confirmation that no sin was committed in this situation. As difficult as it was to understand, no sin was committed. That's God's eternal plan to redeem mankind. Jesus will save. Jesus will save mankind. Jesus will save mankind from their sin. This is good news. The gospel doesn't just give us religious instruction, but it makes known a personal Savior. Its power is not in its statements of truth, but in a person, Jesus Christ. When you wait for God to solve your problems, the solution is much better than any that you could come up with on your own. Joseph had a problem. Joseph received the solution. And then third, Joseph followed the plan. Verses 24 and 25. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till he had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Why did he do it? Because he understood? Well, absolutely not. This was the incarnation. Completely mysterious in its nature, yet amazingly glorious as a fact. And the only solution to mankind's problem of sin. No, there was another reason. Remember the statement, being a just man? Joseph knew God. Joseph knew the scriptures. And Joseph knew God's power. Joseph understood an important principle of truth from God's word. Obedience with limited understanding. Obey God first, understand why later. Obey God first, understand why later. God calls us to remain in His storm's eye. For peace is only found centered in God's will. We can struggle with what we don't understand. And we can receive help from God in our struggle. Listen, but we must choose to obey the solution. In the center of the eye of the storm, there is peace. But away from the eye, our own will, the storm consumes. Well, let me ask you, where are you in your walk with the Lord? Are you in the eye? Are you in the center? Or are you out somewhere at the edge, near the outer part of the storm, where the storm is raging? Where's your trust? Is it in God? Or is it in yourself? Well, let me call you to make a commitment to seek God's word for His answers, and then obey what He reveals. Do you know Jesus? Is He your Savior? Is He your Lord? Well, if He is your Savior, then He is your Lord. Is He your Savior? Have you come to that place of dealing with your sin before Him? Engaging Him? Because, you see, we've all come the same way. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And sin comes with a penalty or a wage as payment. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And that death is not just a physical death. It is a eternal death with punishment in hell forever. But the rest of that verse says, but the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. See, we deserve hell for our sin, but God has provided a free gift of eternal life by Jesus Christ, His Son. And why is that? Well, it's because He loves us. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish," go to hell, "but have everlasting life," go to heaven. You see, God gave His Son. We have the free gift of God, eternal life, by Christ Jesus. See, God gave His Son that we might have eternal life and not spend an eternity in hell as punishment. And what we need to do with that is, with the conviction that we deserve that punishment, and the awareness and conviction that Jesus died for us, we need to seek Him, believing that He rose from the dead. Because you see, God demonstrated His love for us. It says in Romans 5:8 that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus went to the cross for us while we were in our sin. He didn't wait for us to get cleaned up. And we need to confess that. Romans 10:9-10. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart we believe unto righteousness. And then we just need to reach out and ask for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Have you done that? Is Jesus your Savior? Have you acknowledged yourself as a sinner, believing that Jesus died for you and rose from the dead? And would you ask Him to save you and give you eternal life? And is He your Lord? Well, yes, He is your Lord. If He's your Savior, He is your Lord. Romans 12:1-2. "I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Are you a living sacrifice? Have you surrendered your will to the Lord? Have you given over your life to Him? Would you pray with me? Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the testimony of Your servant Joseph in being obedient, even as he struggled, even as he didn't understand, to receive Your solution to take Mary as his wife in the great eternal plan of the ages, the mystery of all the ages, and obediently follow that plan without understanding. Father, thank You for that testimony. And Lord, we have that same decision that we can make to struggle with our problems, to receive Your solution to those problems, and to obey, even as we don't understand. Father, I just pray that anyone who is listening to or watching this video would make that commitment to obey first and understand later, and just surrender to Your will for Your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Obey first, understand later. You have a great day.